Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us again today as Let's Face the Issues broadcast airs each day, Monday through Friday, and then a special one-hour broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on this same station with expository preaching. So if you have not heard the news yet, let me invite you to join in each Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear a one full hour broadcast by expository preaching and messages coming directly from the pulpit of our church at First Conservative Baptist Church. By the way, let me take just a moment to invite you to worship with us this Sunday. Our Bible study hour, some call it Sunday school. Sunday school hour is at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Our morning worship is at 10:45. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, our afternoon worship at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located just 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road. And yes, we have the old-fashioned gospel preaching, that is proper expository preaching, verse by verse, word for word from the Word of God. Preaching is designed and should be designed and carried out on the basis that it's teaching the listener what God's Word says. It's not based on philosophy, ideology, or opinion, but what does the Word of God say in context? Taking away all the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of denominationalism and stripping it right down to the bare facts of what does God say to us through His written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. And yes, we have gospel singing, and it's the old-fashioned gospel singing where you can hear the words and allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart as you hear the singing that warms our hearts, prepares our hearts to hear the gospel message so that we can respond to what the Holy Spirit would have us to do when the gospel is proclaimed from the pulpit. So let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. We'd be delighted to have you even on Wednesday evening, midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. We have a fellowship meal. We have a brief Bible study and or Bible questions and answers. Perhaps you have Bible questions if you've not found answers to. Many are fearful to answer a question, biblically speaking, because if they answer it and it's not exactly the way the person may have wanted it to be answered, there is a feeling that, well, I might lose a member or someone might get angry. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of losing a member. It's not a matter of someone being angry. It's a matter of correct understanding of what the Word of God says. So we invite you to fellowship with us even this evening at 7 o'clock, First Conservative Baptist Church here on Old St. Augustine Road. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the phone number before I forget it. You can dial 904-411-1413 and join in the dialogue and discussion as we have the discussion each day on this broadcast. As we have the discussion and the dialogue, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not based on what philosophy says or man says or anyone's ideology, but what does the Word of God say and the position that we ought to take on that subject or that issue. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. So as we look at the issues each day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, which is the source book of truth. And by the way, let me give you a heads up. On our Thursday broadcast on Let's Face the Issues, we'll have the joy and the pleasure of having as our guest, and we'll be interviewing our sheriff, Sheriff Mike Williams. We're looking forward to that dialogue and discussion. We're going to be discussing some of the issues that we've heard on a national level about gun control and about banning weapons and about our Second Amendment right, about the shootings in Parkland, Florida, and who is at fault, who should have been on guard and was not, how we should view that and what we should do to protect our own city and our own schools. Sheriff Mike Williams will be our guest tomorrow. So let me give you a heads up now. And you perhaps would want to invite others to join in, or perhaps you'd like to call in with your own questions and comments as we have that dialogue on the air tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today a subject that perhaps answers a lot of your questions. It's called diversity of opinion. Diversity of opinion. May I simply hasten to say that you often will get into a discussion with someone about a spiritual issue, some call it religion or political issue, and you find that there's a diversity of opinion. What is the cause of that? What is the rationale behind that? What makes there be such two different opinions, diverse opinions, on just about any given subject? And I hope that you'll listen carefully, because we want to form a understanding and go to the focus of the monologue today is diversity of opinion. But first of all, let's look at some good news. You want to hear good news, don't you? We all do. Credit where credit is given, if you will. Florida House of Representatives Kimberly Daniels, a Democrat from Jacksonville, got national attention Monday for her prayer for our president. Yep, you heard me right. A Democrat representative praying for President Donald Trump. Some find that antithetical with the Democratic Party, but she's been mocked and ridiculed and demeaned for her prayer. Here are just a few of the words of her intercessory prayer for our president. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want you to get the gist of what she said. Let me just quote some from her prayer. God, this is from Kimberly Daniels, a Jacksonville Democratic representative for the Florida House of Representatives. She said, God, I lift up President Donald Trump before you today. Daniels then prayed for the president's protection. She said, God, protect the president, his family, Capitol Hill, and wherever that first family is traveling, in Jesus' name. And then Daniel prayed against those that come against him and the evil that's against him. Kimberly Daniels prayed, and for the witches and the warlocks trying to bring confusion to this great man, God, I ask you to block them and stop them. Then Daniels continued to pray. She says, God, when it comes to the place where witches are bold enough to come out and declare that they will have authority over who's the president of the United States, I think it's time for the saints of God to take a stand against the enemies in Jesus' name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a few other words about her prayer, but thus far, I think it's an honorable prayer based on the directive in Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Scripture is succinctly clear. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then Representative Daniels continues in her prayer. We thank you, God, for Donald Trump. We thank you for his family. And then she prays and continues to the close of her prayer. Lord, expose the work of all the demons operating through his cabinet or through anyone else closely associated with him. Let the power of every demon be blocked in Jesus' name. And she closed her prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, may I challenge each of my listeners today to pray for our president, to pray that God will give him wisdom. I know you may not be a Republican. That's all right. But I think when we see what happened in November of 2016, when Donald Trump, then candidate, was elected as president of the United States, I wrote some major articles then and publicized them. I believe it was God's divine intervention intervening in the affairs of the political process in America to set us free as a nation from the restraints of the extreme left and the direction that they were leading our nation. And so therefore we need to pray for President Trump, just as Representative Kimberly Daniels prayed for President Donald Trump. Now, I'm sure that a lot of her flack and a lot of her condemnation and a lot of her mockery and ridicule came out of the camps of the loose likes lost liberals called the Democratic Party. Yes, I can say that honestly and biblically, because I can't see how any human being, you may be listening, I'm talking to you, I don't see any human being that claims to be saved can be a registered Democrat and stand for abortion and stand for sodomite marriages and stand for the destruction of our Constitution and stand for a socialistic, communistic form of government. I don't see how that's possible. It's antithetical to anything called Scripture. But the picture is there of Kimberly Daniels and her prayer for Donald Trump. And the opposite side, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the subject, diversity of opinion. And the opposite opinion from Kimberly Daniels is that of none other than the loose likes liberal, Juan Williams. Perhaps you've seen Juan Williams, the token liberal on Fox News. Juan Williams said, and I quote, "Evangelicals sell their souls for Trump," end quote. These were his words to all Christians because of our support for the president. Williams opined over Trump's accusations of moral failure. And in the long article of Juan Williams' diatribe on the subject of basically demeaning and castigating and trashing evangelicals. Now, that includes Christians, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, "We've sold our soul for Donald Trump." And his opining was based on the premise that Donald Trump has had some moral failures, that somehow, some way, he's not worthy of the presidency, that somehow, some way, he ought to sit down and have no say-so and do nothing as president. My question to Juan Williams is simply, have you sinned? Has there ever been a sin in your life, Juan? Or as a liberal socialist Democrat, you feel you're perfect? Juan Williams, are you perfect? Are you sinless? And I say that because so often we have the philosophy that when we vote for a president, he must be pristine and pure. Now, I understand we want the best candidate for office. And that's the reason, ladies and gentlemen, 80% of the evangelicals voted for Donald Trump in the election in 2016. Is because of his stand for what we hold dear. For example, let's not forget that our president stands for our Second Amendment right. And if you're not familiar with that, that's the right to keep and bear arms. That's the right to protect your property and your family. That's the right to shoot back if someone shoots at you. That's the right that we have as Americans. In fact, George Washington said, "A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficiency of arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would also include their own government," end quote. Our president stands for the Second Amendment. And this is the reason we need to pray for him in the aftermath of Parkland, Florida school shooting, where 17 kids were slaughtered, massacred by a 19-year-old gunman. And now you hear the hue and cry all over Washington, all over Tallahassee, and across our nation, demanding that we truncate, infringe upon our Second Amendment right. Our president stands for that, for our Second Amendment right. President Trump has reduced the illegals coming in across our southern border by over 80% in the past 15, 16 months. Our president, President Trump, stands against abortion. I understand his hands are tied because of the law that's on the books. Had a refreshing statement by Vice President Pence just yesterday. He said, and I quote, "I believe abortion will be a thing of the past in our lifetime." I believe that he's right. I believe that a few cases could be brought before the Supreme Court based on the present makeup of the Supreme Court and the potential future makeup of the Supreme Court, that we could eliminate Roe versus Wade. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand the mindset that says we ought to ban guns and destroy human beings in the mother's womb. I don't understand the mindset that because approximately 38,000 people were killed with weapons last year, over 20,000 of those legal shootings, over half the balance as a result of suicide, and yet we murder 1.5 million as a minimum every 12 months through the abortuaries, through Planned Parenthood, murder machines, and the liberal socialist left-wing Democratic Party that wants to continue to feed that murder machine. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the diversity of opinion. And may I say that opinions count, especially when we're looking at the future of our nation. Our president stands against government control over human life. He has removed restrictions and countered those restrictions by executive orders that were placed upon American business by the previous administration. Our president stands for the freedom of religion. Our president, May 10th of 2017, by executive order, canceled the regulation of the IRS that's been designed since 1954 to squelch the voice of pastors in the pulpits. He's freed American preachers to grow a backbone and take a stand on issues just as this broadcast does 5 days a week. Whether it's a political issue, a social issue, economic issue, moral, ethical, biblical, theological, it is a central biblical issue, and therefore every saved person ought to be willing to take a stand and be salt and light. We're talking about the diversity of opinion. One on one hand was a Democrat legislator in Tallahassee that sincerely prayed for our president's protection, for the protection of his family, and that God through the Holy Spirit would bind the demons of hell that would prevent him or harm him from carrying out the task God's called him to do. Then there's that one Williams that castigates, condemns, demeans evangelicals for our stand for President Trump. And so we're talking about what Trump as president has done. He stands for our Second Amendment. He stands for against abortion. He stands for border security and national sovereignty. He stands for freedom of religion. He stands for freedom of religious speech. President Trump has revised and revived in the hope in the heart of American Christians, Christian hope in America. When we see the opportunity for Christians to stand and freely speak without opposition from the outside. And by the way, I'm not saying that Christians are not still demeaned. We have still the demeaning of Christians in America today. We still have those that want to ban the cross. We ban the Bible and prayer in the public classrooms. We have brought about in America today an educational system that's not worth 10 cents. Just one of the major universities announced this week that they're teaching a course in the college university level on the impeachment of Donald Trump as president. Perhaps we should examine the cause. What's the cause of this diversity of opinion? What is the root cause of having such a diverse opinion about who we are as a nation and where we stand as a nation and what President Trump is doing and what he is not doing? Perhaps we should look at what is causing this. I believe it boils down to saved or lost. I believe it boils down to being Christian or non-Christian. George Barner of the American Culture and Faith Institute used to be called the Barner Report. And a recent survey produces and provides some great insight, I believe, on where we are in America and the American culture. Let me just share a few excerpts from that elongated research recently presented. He said faith factors. And one of the first things that he points out is that faith has a major factor in our belief system. You see, the scripture says when a person gets saved, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We have a new mindset, a new hope, a new plan, a new agenda, a new goal, a new motivation, a new mandate in our lives. And George Barner in his report on Culture and Faith Institute says this: an evaluation of people's points of view based upon their religious inclinations highlights the dramatic differences between such groups. The heart of the division across faith groups has to do with whether or not people embrace Christianity. He forthrightly says that the fundamental, foundational, rudimentary source of what we believe and our opinions as they are espoused daily flows from the fountain of a relationship to Jesus Christ. I've had people say, well, why do you have the opinion you have? And some will ask the question, well, I don't hear that on news. And I say, well, what news are you listening to? Is it fake news? Is it the Communist Network news? Is it the ABC always bashing Christians news? What network are you listening to? I'm not saying Fox has everything that's correct. In fact, I'm more and more displeased with their riding the fence in so many cases. He goes on to say, Christians in all shapes and forms were far more likely than people who do not associate with Christianity to believe that things are going in the right direction economically by 58 to 38%. Christians were also more likely than non-Christians to say things are going in the right direction politically, 39% to 24%. Even though a majority of both groups feel the nation is politically off track. Ladies and gentlemen, I can agree with that. We're politically off track. You see, the widespread concern, according to this article, says, with the state of the nation and its leadership is evident in this survey that found 6 out of 10 adults, 59%, described themselves as angry with the state of America today. That is actually better than people's state of mind during 2017, when the average monthly reaction to the national condition was about 67% admitting to being angry with the condition in our nation. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the anger is subsiding in the hearts and the lives of even Christians as we see President Trump with a goal of changing America and making us safe again and secure again and great again, as he calls it. Now, when this survey by George Berner, the Culture of Faith, Culture and Faith Institute survey, uses the term Christian, he says, with the definition, born-again Christians are about 30% of the adult population. Born-again Christians are about 30% of the American population. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't frighten the socks off you, I don't know what's wrong with you. That frightens me to death. And the article goes on to say, these that are born-again Christians, they are people who consider themselves to be Christian and believe that when they die, they will go to heaven only because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the point of demarcation. That is the absolute apex of what I'm talking about in relationship to the diversity of opinion in America today. The difference of opinion is based upon an individual's relationship to Jesus Christ, whether or not an individual has said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Perhaps this is why conservative evangelicals today believe that we should not ban guns. Conservative evangelicals today believe that we should not murder babies in the womb. Conservative Christian evangelicals today believe that we should not restrict religious free speech. We as Christians today believe that we should not bow to government, but we should bow to God. While the left, liberal, socialist America are screaming for gun control, yet this same segment of society would have us to shred our Constitution, would have us to sacrifice our babies on the altar of pleasure and a moral degradation in America. This same group would like to see America become a socialist government. This morning on Fox News, early morning news, I watched them interview a man, last name is Wolf, and he is running for U.S. House of Representatives as a representative from Illinois. And he said that he believes it and showed some of his campaign material with him smoking pot. And he believes that smoking pot is all right and should be legal. He believes that America should provide free education, free health care, free everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the epitome of a socialist mantra. And when I say a person is a socialist, that simply means communist light, L-I-T-E. And that's the kind of people we have running for office today. This is the reason God would have us as Christians come out of the closet, speak up, stand up, be seen, be heard, be salt and light in a decaying society. Our founding fathers know of the danger, and they knew of it then, the danger of huge government and its ultimate damage to the freedom of our families and our faith and our future. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I'm thankful for some of those that are in office and running for office here in the state of Florida. And I could name several that I have confidence in, and I pray it's rightly placed confidence. But I received the newsletter just this morning from Representative Jay Fant. Jay Fant is the candidate running for the Attorney General's office here in the state of Florida. And Jay made a dramatic statement that I think is correct in his newsletter. Let me just read you part of the newsletter. This is coming from Representative Jay Fant, candidate for Attorney General for the state of Florida. Jay Fant says, despite serious establishment opposition, I continue to fight for your Second Amendment right at the state capitol, and I'm standing firm. Today, I offered an amendment to remove the proposed banning of guns from anyone 18 to 21 years of age. The amendment was rejected. We are on the path in your legislature to deprive everyone in Florida under 21 years of age for their Second Amendment constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That's wrong, he says. Those over the age of 18 in America can vote and pay taxes. Why would they not be able to protect their homes or defend themselves as the Constitution allows? He says, and I quote, I'm outraged by this attack on our constitutional rights, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that we ought to take as evangelicals, as Christians. We ought to defend our founding documents that our founding fathers gave us. And by the way, our founding document, our Constitution, and within it, our Bill of Rights, all flowed from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get away from the Word of God, when we digress from what God says, when we fail to recognize that the fountainhead of truth is the Word of God, then you're going to find the difference in culture. You're going to find the difference in opinion in culture. You're going to find the division that stands today that prevents us from standing together as a nation. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in this podcast. Look forward to joining you again on the air tomorrow as, once again, we face the issue.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.